Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, September 10th, 2018, and with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Chip, chip, cheerio. It's good to have you back. I'm very, very pleased to hear you again.
It's really nice to be back. And after spending 10 days in London and surrounding areas, I have a new profound understanding and appreciation for how bad your English accent is. I'd say that with love.
Fair enough.
John Martellaro, how are you?
I have no hope of duplicating that. I'm terrible at that accent. So I will simply say I'm a very happy person.
I love that accent because it's completely nondescript.
I see that Jeff is an equal opportunity truther today.
I can't help it. It's probably jet lag. We're going to go with that.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Jamf Now, which is awesome. We'll get to that. First, though, we need to talk about Ming-Chi Kuo.
Do we really need to talk about him?
We totally do. And for two reasons. First, because he said stuff that we need to analyze. And then second, I love pushing those buttons that just set you off in this way, Brian.
All right. Well, if he's right about this one, I'm going to have to give him massive credit for it because he's wrong. And I'm just like, okay, so here's the thing. If he's right, I will give him that credit. And I will say, boy, this guy nailed it. If he's wrong, my question is, can we all agree to quit lionizing this guy? Because he's wrong all the time.
I am with you. If he's
not
wrong,
always wrong, but he's wrong all the time. He's frequently wrong. And everybody treats it like everything he says is absolutely right. And that ain't the case. To wit,
here's what he's saying. When Apple announces the new iPad Pro models, the ones that we've been hearing about that will have the thin bezels, they won't have Touch ID, they'll have Face ID instead. These iPad Pro models are not going to have Lightning ports on them. Instead, they will have USB-C ports on them. And I think your buzzer is completely appropriate, Brian, because I think that he has this one wrong. It doesn't make sense to me that Apple would have USB-C on the iPad and Lightning on the iPhone.
Doesn't make sense that Apple would go to USB-C, period.
The
USB-C is bigger. And does it do anything that we need? I guess it's faster, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Because you can go USB-C over Lightning.
You can go Lightning to USB-C.
You mean USB 3.1. C is the connector. 3.1 is the protocol.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, yeah. Apple's not ditching Lightning. Apple controls Lightning. MFI depends on Apple being able to control accessing the port, using the port. Apple is not switching to USB-C. They're not. They may replace Lightning. They will replace Lightning with something at some point, but it'll be another Apple-controlled port.
All right. So while you were frothing, I came up with a very thin hypothesis. I mean, this is so weak, but I'm going to toss it out there to get your reaction. What if Apple has decided that they're switching the iPad Pro to USB-C so that you have a new way to connect external devices such as hard drives?
I was thinking along those lines myself. It could be that because the iPad sales have been only slightly recovering from the big dip from 2015, 2016, 2017. Now they're on the slight swing, but still not as stellar as I'd like. Maybe Apple has big plans for reinvigorating the iPad as a as a more major productivity tool. I like how you think, Jeff.
I feel like that is such a stretch, though. I mean, if Apple was going to add support for external drives to the iPad, don't you think someone would have uncovered that in the beta code by now? I mean, they have found so much in the beta code for iOS 12 that this is the sort of thing I can't imagine they would have missed. Also, why not have a Lightning to USB adapter like Apple does with everything else? Just plug in the dongle, now you can use the drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Plus control, plus licensing, plus MFI, plus headphones.
Yeah.
Minus the European Union efforts to get everybody on the same connector page.
It's not USB-C.
It's micro USB.
Yeah, it's micro USB.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Apple solved that by including an adapter. Because the freaking European Union in this particular case is a lot of stuff that the European Union does that I really like. This is not one of them.
Yeah, it's I'm calling. I almost had to edit myself. So I'm calling crap on USB-C as the port on the iPad Pro.
I wonder if. Is it possible that that USB-C allows more power throughput as an electricity for charging? That would be a reason to move your hard drive thing, your accessories thing, would be a reason to do it. But it flies in the face of everything that Apple does. It flies in the face. It makes the MFI program moot. Mm-hmm. And Apple does make money from that. And Apple like super keen from making money from licensing and services and things like that. And
yeah, Apple, remember, Apple gave up MagSafe, which we thought they would never do. All things being equal, and they're not.
Well, thank you for opening that wound. about that one.
You know, to give us what we clearly all want, which is a thinner MacBook, MagSafe had to go away because it was too thick.
No more fun. Thinner MacBook, Jeff, damn it. No, almost
the iPad ever going to get
buy one of those?
Is the iPad ever going to get so thin that because of its size? I don't think the iPad can ever get so thin that USB-C would not be an option.
USB-C is bigger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that gives you a degree of freedom on the iPad that you don't have on the phone.
There is no freedom because that's a battery. That's space that can be taken up by battery.
Mm-hmm. No, what I mean is that because the iPad is so much bigger, it has to be thicker to support the size in order to give it proper stiffness.
Yeah, you still don't want that internal space being taken up by useless components. I would believe that people would kill the Lightning port entirely before they put a USB-C port. That makes a lot more sense to me than a USB-C port. Now, again, if never know if it's Mr. Ming or if it's Mr. Quo, but if the analyst...
Good save.
Known as Ming-Chi Kuo, has this right. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say I just was wrong. I totally missed it.
And it's inconceivable that he would mistake the different ends of the cable, right? I mean, if it was simply a matter of putting USB-C on the USB-A side so that you can charge your iPad or your phone from, say, your MacBook Pro from the USB-C port, clearly that would be
charging.
Horrendous mistake to make. So, Jeff, in your article, you quote him specifically talking about replacing Lightning with USB-C. Mm-hmm. So that's not a likely mistake that he made. We'll just disregard that off the top.
Yeah, and I believe that when Apple announces the new iPad Pros, that we will see that Ming-Chi Kuo is wrong. And what Apple did was left the Lightning connector and changed the charger to USB-C.
Yeah, and I also question the timing of this. I mean, Apple sets the design of their iPads in concrete probably in February, maybe earlier. So why was this so close to the shipping date?
And they usually lead with the iPhone, not iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we expect to see some new iPads this fall too, right?
Yeah, but the change would happen on the iPhone first.
Yeah, unless there's some reason that we're not seeing for Apple to do this. This is just completely antithetical to everything that Apple does and the way that they do it.
Yeah, I am with you.
But, you know, there have been a whole lot. You know, we talk about that preponderance, right? That sort of preponderance of evidence once the rumors have the weight. I don't think we've ever had that weight with this particular rumor, but there has been noise about it for a long time. The only thing a big thing that gives me pause, in addition to that little thing I like to call reality, is that I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. I totally get it. I mean, we all get really wound up about rumors like this because it doesn't make sense. So, yeah. Well, then how about if I save you from the thought derailment by saying, hey, we have a sponsor today.
Yay.
And that sponsor is Jamf Now. And what's awesome about Jamf Now is that it's an easy web-based way for you to be able to manage your iPhone, your iPads, your Apple TV, your Macs from just this one place. So what I mean is it keeps track of all your devices. So, you know, your serial numbers, you know, your operating system version numbers, you can have all your settings for these devices stored in your Jamf Now account. And then when it's time to push out settings to a device, you can do it from there or for multiple devices. So it makes it easy to keep track of all that stuff. You can also keep track of your apps that you're installed. Plus, it supports installing your own custom apps. So you know, you have that kind of control over your devices, which is great for an individual or a family, but also for businesses. Because now, as a small or medium-sized business, you have a very affordable way to manage all of the devices that your teams are using. And it's just so much easier than having to go to like special training classes to figure out how to do this stuff. It can be really complicated, except if you're using Jamf Now. So when I said it's affordable, here's how affordable it is. You can sign up for an account for free, and you can manage three devices in that account for free forever. That's not like a special deal. That's just what they do. And if you want to manage additional devices, it's only $2 per device per month. So it scales up without breaking your bank, and it's awesome. Three devices for free forever. I love it. So here's what you need to do. Head over to their website. It's jamf.com. That's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account there, add three devices, and just use it. And then if you need to add more, no problem, $2 per device per month. Easy and inexpensive. So thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Okay. Since we've been talking about what's coming on Wednesday in Apple's media event, and we've mentioned iPhones a little bit, we might as well go there now. There's a report out, and this report is coming through Mark Gurman at Bloomberg. So there's more reason to accept that this is accurate as opposed to what Ming-Chi Kuo has been saying. He has the supposed names for the new iPhones. So the 5.8-inch OLED screen iPhone will be called iPhone XS or XS. So it sounds like iPhone XS to me. And then the 6.5-inch OLED screen iPhone will be called iPhone XS Max, and then the 6.1-inch LCD iPhone will be called the iPhone XR.
Okay, what's the first one again?
XS or XS.
XS.
Maybe Apple simply wants to give us, wait for it, what you need. To give you what you need.
That's a really nice recovery from your thought derailment.
Well yeah, done, sir. I don't know about that. John, by the way, this is a popular culture reference, at least popular culture from the 80s with a band called NXS. In case you were wondering.
I was busy in the 80s. I was in graduate school.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough there. iPhone X is such a great name. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see that it's not going away. iPhone X with a Roman numeral is such a great name. It is curious, you know, you got both XS and you got XS for people who want to either mispronounce it from ignorance or want to try to make, you know, hay out of it. But you know, mm-hmm. Apple doesn't really care. Do you remember the kerfuffle over the iPad?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it sounded like a feminine hygiene product to some people, and those jokes lasted all of like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I remember
no one's thought about them since until now.
People thought iPod Touch was a horrible name.
But why move away from Plus? Why move from XS? Plus to XS Max. What was wrong with Plus, and what's the motivation to go with Max?
That is a good question. Actually, I think I like Plus better than Max as a sort of knee-jerky reaction.
I'm with you. My initial thought was, ooh, I'd like Plus better than Max.
It kind of feels like it feels a little douche bro-y.
When they build a bigger phone, will they have to go say it's the new Max? The old Max wasn't really maximum. Now the new Max is the maximum.
Next one will be the Ultra.
I was thinking it would be the Max Ultra. Plus.
The Max iPhone Plus. XS Max Ultra Plus.
Now we're getting into Microsoft naming.
Yes.
You know, it is Apple is like super consistent for naming until they're not mm-hmm. at any given point. So, you know, the iPhone X itself was a change in the nomenclature. I'm with you on your original premise. Mark Gurman reporting it carries,
yeah,
just
a lot of weight,
enormous amounts of weight.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's happening. And it really, I don't think Max or Plus really matters all that much. The XS antennas thing both is kind of, you know, like, are they really cool with that? But like I said, Apple doesn't really care about those kinds of things. So
I have a feeling that Apple, or at least people in general, may start referring to these as the S, the Max, and the R phones.
Yeah, and what's with the R? Any you guys have any thoughts on R besides radical?
Which one is this?
That'll be the 6.1-inch LCD. So the lower priced phone.
The iPhone 8 replacement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we're not going to have an iPhone
9. Is dead, and there's never going to be a 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we went from the iPhone to the iPhone 3G.
Right.
Like we went from Windows 8 to Windows 10. There'll never be a Windows 9 either.
Yeah, but there was also 95. Anyhow, naming.
How does XR in any sense convey the nature of the product or a sense of delight about the name or whatever?
Now it's more regular.
Yeah, it's the Max and the regular.
My guess is that when Apple announces these phones on Wednesday and they show us the LCD screen phone and they say it's the iPhone XR, they're going to have some marketing spin where the R makes sense. Like, and it won't be like the iPhone R for really good, but there'll be something else like the iPhone, like the revision, or I don't know.
I think you're wrong, Jeff. Apple never explains their product naming. I think they're just going to blow right past the XR. They won't explain it,
but they'll give us enough details that we can connect the dots.
I doubt it. I really do. I mean, the last thing they want to do is destroy the sense of imagination or mystery or...
Okay, then it's alphabetical.
Even playfulness.
It's alphabetical. You have the lower-end phone, R, and then you have the higher-end phone. What's the next letter after R? S.
I can't wait for the Q model, which has an ejection seat.
I love it, John, when you get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I don't know what the R stands for. I don't really care. It is interesting that, you know, the iPhone 10 went from an experiment to the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, I'm kind of surprised it's not the iPhone 10 2. Like X2.
I'm surprised they did anything with the naming. I thought it would just be iPhone 10.
Well, that's a rat's nest of Roman numerals, Brian, because then you get into...
No, you get the Roman numeral X, and then you've got the iPhone Arabic 10 numeral 2.
We'll put Roman numeral 2, and then you get, what, 12? So it becomes the iPhone 12 instead of the...
No, XS. Arabic numeral.
Oh, 2.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Two. Arabic numeral.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, Roman numeral 10... Number two, or something. It's interesting, right? It was introduced as an experiment.
How about iPhone 10 2018 model?
That's kind of what I expected. iPhone 10 fall 2018, just like we get with MacBooks.
Yeah, that would be, and that sort of seems like it would be more in keeping. Like I said, Apple is super consistent with naming until they're not.
Yeah, iPhone 10. 2018 model, iPhone 10S. No, iPhone 10 Plus 2018 model. And iPhone 10
LCD. Minus.
LCD. Heaven forbid we would explain to the customers that you're not getting an OLED display. I wonder how many customers wind up buying that 10R and then find out they didn't get an OLED.
How many customers will even notice or care?
My guess is
I believe a significant percentage will find out later and regret it.
Anyone who cares about OLED would probably know what they're buying. The vast majority of people do not care about OLED. OLED is largely a echo chamber thing.
Yeah, and most people, I think, that wouldn't know anyhow. If you put the OLED screen and the LCD screen side by side, they would be hard pressed to see a difference.
No, I think you can see that
mildly, Brian. I appeal to the 4K world. These customers are probably shopping around to Costco or Walmart for a 4K display, and they're familiar with OLED from that perspective, and they know the advantages of an OLED LG display over, say, an old-fashioned.
Yeah, I've got news for you. Most people don't have Costco memberships.
Giving that as an example. I mean, you know, they could be going to Amazon to buy their TV, whatever.
Or Best Buy.
Whatever.
All right.
Frumpwoggle.
So, wow, I haven't heard that in more than 10 days. hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Indeed. Thanks for having us, man. Good to have you back.
It's nice to be back. John, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun.
It was fun. And thank you to Jamf now for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, and sign up for your free account. Get 3 devices in it for free, $2 per device per month after that. It's a really great deal, and it's a really useful service. So thank you to Jamf. Now, listeners, thank you for being here as well, and thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow. Thank you.